You ever feel like the guy who's just trying to keep it together, watching the game, knocking back a few, grinding through work, but something deep down just feels off? Like you're stuck in a loop of anger, exhaustion, and distance from your wife, from your kids, even yourself. What if the tough guy routine isn't strength, but a shield? Adam Kasich knows that mask well. He wore it, and it nearly cost him everything. His marriage, his kids, but he didn't stop there. Adam faced the beast inside, not just the PTSD, not just the fallout from war, but the version of himself he built to survive it. Today, he coaches men through that same transformation, out of the warrior mode that no longer serves them and into the kind of man they actually want to be. This episode is raw and real. You'll hear about addiction, identity, fatherhood, and how the false image of strength is holding too many men back from actual healing. But before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial serves as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit gwattmemorialfoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Adam, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you here.
Scott, I am stoked to be here.
I could tell, you know, when we were talking before we started the recording, and I could tell already just from the energy that you're giving off and everything, it's going to be a great conversation, because sometimes you get folks and it's like, you know, I'm not really sure how this is going to go. But, you know, right from the get-go, it was definitely high energy, you know, always good to go. So looking forward to it. But let's just for the listeners, maybe just for some context, who you are, a little bit about your military background and kind of your transformation out of the military to who you are today.
That is so loaded. I'm gonna break that up.
Yeah, break it up into chunks. Don't eat the elephant in one bite. You know.
Yeah. So who am I, man? I'm a soul trying to make its way in this deal. I've had 2 enlistments, both in the Army. I was signed up for the Marines very, very early at 17 years old and realized that I needed to go a different way. That was for me. So we changed the paperwork last minute, but I did. I joined at 17, and that's some of the military. And a lot of that was inspired actually by my grandfather, who was an Omaha Beach veteran. And I think in 41, I don't know if he was D-Day early, but he was there. He was part of that offensive. Okay. And then, you know, came home to Alabama, went up to Detroit and started our line. But so between him and just something in me, you know, I saw Glory as part of an 8th grade movie deal at school in junior high. And I'm watching Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington and these dudes, like whatever they were doing in the Civil War. I don't even know the history of it, but that movie that actually inspired me to believe, like, I'm going to follow Grandpa. So, you know, there was something ingrained in me there. But the story of why probably we should be talking today, and a lot of what I've been shown to overcome and thrive through the darkness and come out of the other side, that had to do with the second enlistment when I deployed. But, you know, man, the bullet points of who we are, like when we're out here, especially we're out here in the media circuit doing things, and we have voices and messages and we got brands and all this stuff. Like, I look at the highlights of what people put down, and I realized a long time ago, I cannot compete with most people's highlights for highlights. Pound for pound, my highlight list is not in good shape. But I do, I'm a big fan of martial arts. I don't practice anything currently, I have, but I do more watching and studying the philosophies of the Book of the 5 Rings and like different things. And I incorporate that with my faith. But in there, I'm like, I think I need to use the counterpunch method and use the weight of my opponent against, like, I can't do the highlights. So I started actually putting my lowlights as the lead, and okay. I would put them in my email list as my signature, or my email signature. And so when you talk about who I am, it's gotten ingrained in my mind that lately, especially when I'm speaking anywhere, I will tell people I'm a former bedwetter. I am a former level one trauma nurse. I'm a former Army veteran and combat vet. And like, I got post-traumatic stress, didn't know about that for a few years. And, you know, I lost my marriage and my kids, and I got them all back. So I'm a survivor in that, and then thriver after post-traumatic stress. To me, we love the movies that show us a real hero's journey. That word hero isn't an invincible person like Mr. Incredible, or, well, no, he was pretty flawed too. That's a bad example. What a dad. I'm striving to be like Mr. Incredible. He's super flawed, but he's still on it. But we do like the superhero thing or the hero's journey. I think a lot of us, especially those who probably consider ourselves sheepdogs to some degree, we're protectors, we are warriors. It's like there's a big part of us that think there's a certain image of a hero and what he looks like or she looks like. And I think for the most part, it's Frodo in Lord of the Rings. Like most of the time, you don't look physically imposing. You definitely don't feel it most of the time, even if you are, because we all got stuff inside, even the big guys. And, you know, when I'm looking at that, I've been mostly attracted to stories of overcoming and deep, deep dream, struggle, and victory type of stories. And that's who I am. That's who I help, and that's who I serve. And yeah, take a little breath for air there.
Yeah, come up for air for just a sec here, and we'll kind of unpack some of that, because I think you had a good point there. When you're looking at the highlights that people put on their, you know, maybe it's a resume or on their website or social media, that's probably the worst offender of looking at somebody's highlights, because nobody's posting their worst days on social media necessarily. They're putting their A game out there on social media. They look great. They sound great. Everything's polished and cut, and you know, everything's just done just so, and it looks just right. But that's not reality, right? Mm. Like that person's flawed too. That person, I guarantee they screwed something up at some point during that day that they were filming that reel or taking that picture of them that with that beautiful sunset in the background, or you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, there was
that
something
angle, that one angle.
That one angle. You're taking a snapshot of that person's life and you're judging them by that. And you're looking at them and it's like, man, this person's got it all together. No, they don't. No. Come on. You know?
No.
They really don't. You know, and you know, even sometimes like people will talk to me about this podcast. It's like, I can't believe, you know, how much you've done, and you know, you've done all these great things. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't know all the half of it, like of like what it took to get there. And so when, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, kind of the low lights, like the, not the highlights, the low lights, but the things that you had to overcome, I think those are even more impressive than someone just, oh yeah, I wake up, I got out of bed looking amazing. And I'm just a wonderful person that's, oh, you know, I don't even have to try. It's like, well, that's not real. And
no,
you can kind of see through that. I mean, yeah, sure. Everyone's going to have a good day from time to time too. And you absolutely should celebrate it. But like that stuff's not real. So like, let's look at the real you, and like, what did you actually go through and what did you have to overcome? And you mentioned a few of those things, you know, between your marriage and a combat veteran and, you know, a bunch of other things that you're mentioning. You know, there's a lot of things to go dive deep into, and we could talk about, you know, any of those things if you want, and kind of use those as examples of like, what's going on? What's making Adam tick here, you know?
Yeah, it is inspiring. You know, something you said there stuck with me, and it kept hanging in there. And it was, what's impressive is overcoming. And it is.
Yeah.
I think, I'm going to take a step back, give some context here.
Sure.
So what I do on the daily now, mostly is do a lot of coaching and training of prime producing age men. And this character that we've come up with is, you know, like a target avatar. Who's your target customer? So what we've came up with is this name of Guy. So a guy named Guy, a man named Guy.
Sure.
And it's easy because one of the things that I've been led to do in my professional work, remember the old band Boys to Men?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're probably still out there doing weddings here and there, and I pretty good dudes from what I've heard, for real. Sure. Don't keep up with them too often. But like Guys to Men has become this mission of my life. I have three sons and a daughter, but helping guys become men because of how hardcore of a guy I used to be. Now, guy, we all know guy. Guy gives up Sundays with family for sports, and that's his lifestyle.
Yeah.
Guy, now we got to create the character in our head. We can't just take something that some of us do sometimes and pick on ourselves or think that I'm coming at you. It's not what we're doing here. But guy is a certain type of guy, and we all know this guy. He peaked in high school. He hit 17 and couldn't get past it. But that's the general caricature of it, right? And he's probably got steel balls hanging from the hitch of his truck. Like, he's showing everybody, right? He's covered in whiskey and cigars and super aggressive behavior. Listen, I'm creating a character for a little bit of humor, but it also paints the picture. Guy was hurt somewhere. And like many of us, whether it's a father void or some hurt from a relationship, you know, my wife and I got divorced because of my IV drug abuse that I fell into as a nurse and all the affairs that I had. So like in the first 10 years of our life together, that was highly unconducive for marriage. And we paid the price and it all fell apart. And so what I realized I was doing was that I had this, do you like movies?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'm a really big fan of these types of stories and then learning about the comic books and the identities of these types of superheroes and the villains who could have been villains are just superheroes who went dark.
Yeah, I can see that.
A superhero is just a villain who went to the light.
Right.
I have this framework called the Divergent Deltas where it explains how we can start at a common point, and that's the trauma, that's the hurt, that's the void. And then from there, we move in opposite directions or different directions. And so Joker, he got hurt, and he chose a persona, an identity that he took on to present himself to the world. And it happened to be darkness, right? And it's, so that's what he chose. Batman also had a trauma, severe trauma, Bruce Wayne did. And out of that, he chose to become a symbol. I just watched it on Batman Begins yesterday because I study this stuff for my own work, not just entertainment. And he's telling Alfred on the train when he's leaving the League of Shadows, he says, if I'm just a man, people can come at that and tear that down. But if I rise above that, I become more than a man. If I become an idea, like Ra's al Ghul tells him in the prison, he's like, if I become a symbol, I can become indestructible. And so some of us can go to the light, but even then, when we go and do beautiful things, we have to make sure that common point that where we started, we didn't take on an identity that covered the hurt out of which now we live through, which goes all the way back to Guy, living his life in the driveway for Friday nights and slamming beers with the neighbors and whatever else the hardcore guy stereotype that I'm totally pissing off 90% of the audience with right now. No, we're all guys here. Okay. But we got to watch out because guy needs to become a man.
Right.
And for me, one of the biggest things that helped me through the darkness was when I realized confronting my beast wasn't confronting something that I hadn't forgiven necessarily. It wasn't confronting my dad who I felt didn't prepare me well enough for manhood. It wasn't my employers. It wasn't anything. It wasn't even the Taliban, man. It wasn't even the Taliban because I was there on the next plane after you because I know you were there in 2010, correct?
Yeah,
OEF 10.
Right. Yep.
I was 11/12. So
okay. Just
on the back end. And look, dude, I'm learning your story, man. I am learning your story.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, it's because we all have this story. And I believe a lot of us developed a beast to take the place of, because we both said one thing, the hero and the villain, we both said this, that's never happening again.
Yeah.
I am never allowing that to happen again. Joker, in this scenario, chose the dark. And then some of us, yeah, I guess in real life, it's whether or not we choose the couch. And then the hero, Bruce Wayne, chose the light to help people instead of allow Gotham to be burned to the ground. That was his heart.
Right.
So he chose that way. Either way, he's still living through this identity that he put on due to it. And the beast, when we confront that beast, who we put on to cover up that hurt that we're never going to let happen again, that becomes the thing that runs our life. It flashes up on social and watches that we wear on our wrist because we don't have the guts to wear our hearts on our sleeves. Mm-hmm. It's the, I call it in my writing, I call it the way of the facade. My porch has a styrofoam ledge that's spray painted in spackle drywall covering and hardened, but it's styrofoam under there. It's not concrete. And the bricks that cover underneath there are half bricks plastered over cinder blocks to make it look like good for curb appeal. Sure. We all know the game. I live in an HOA community. Like, what are we doing? It's a facade, though.
Yeah.
And the truth lies beneath the surface. And I know I just unloaded a, you know, half a fire truck on you there. But for me, the guy that I serve and the men that I coach, that I'm watching light come back into their eyes and gain real power, not exertive power, mm-hmm. real power, calm, cool, gentle, like a good king. Their families' homes are at, like, stabilizing. What I'm seeing is that they found themselves in a place in life at a certain point in their life, at a certain age, at a certain season that they never saw coming. They never expected, and they sure didn't plan for. It's got them twisted up. It's got them angry and frustrated and confused. And that's what we're working through with these concepts.
Yeah. And so, yeah, let's unpack some of what you're just talking about.
You can dig into anything mine personally or anything that I'm doing with my guys too, because they're all trying to help other guys grow in our manhood.
Yeah, sure. So just looking at guy, right? Your avatar. And I like when somebody has that avatar and they know who their target is, and they've given him a name. He's got a family. He's, you know, X number of years old, and, you know, he has a whole backstory and peaked in high school, let's say, right? As you were talking about that, it reminded me of the old show Married with Children. Al Bundy was the guy in there.
Four touchdowns.
There it is. Yep. And that was the highlight of his life, was when he was in high school. And so as you were saying that, it's like, that's the light bulb that went off in my head. That's guy to me. Yeah. It's like, that's who it is. You know, he's a shoe salesman. Nothing wrong with being a shoe salesman, but, like, he has no aspirations for anything bigger or better. He has a family that he kind of could give two shits about. Like, he's kind of just floating through life, waiting for the next, you know, Sunday to watch football and drink beer. And, like, that's him. And so that to me was the picture I painted when you were describing guy. And sure, the show could be funny, right? If you're into that kind of humor and whatever, it has its place because it's funny, but it's funny because it's like over the top almost. And it's like, well, you would never expect a man to act that way. A man who's in charge of his family and his career and his life, and he's got a actual good grasp on all of that.
Yeah.
That's not how a man is actually going to act. That's how guy acts, right?
Yep.
And that's the description, right? And so, you know, looking at that, all the things that go wrong in this guy's life. I like that. I like that you use guy because it's a good word.
I'm telling you, what comes out of me, my one of my coaches is always giving me a hard time for, like, you got to get better tooting your own horn or something. He thinks it's a belief issue, and I'm not opposed to it. Might be. We all got them. But for me, it is, I believe these things come to me when I am where I need to be, when I'm healthy.
Well, and I think that's true with a lot of things that we feel like it happened to me, like it came to me, or it just happened and it occurred. You know, this thought occurred to me. Well, I shouldn't take credit for this thought. It just occurred to me. And you should take credit for it because it was your thought.
It was your awareness that grabbed it, right?
Right, exactly. And it might have been floating out there, but like you said, your awareness latched on and grabbed onto it. And so anyways, guy, you know, looking at that, I feel like when a lot of guys get out of the military, we're still guys, right? And not everybody, for sure, but there's definitely a segment of this population, this veteran population, that are still guys. They still are not really sure what to do with their life after the military. And it's easier. I don't want to say the military is easy, that's not what I'm saying. So don't, for the listeners, don't go writing into me and, you know, sending me hate mail and all that kind of stuff. But no, so I'm not saying that the military is easy, but it's easier in the sense that someone tells you where to be, what to wear, when you can eat, and you get a paycheck. And that paycheck is steady throughout your military career. And obviously, as you get promoted, you get paid more and you get more things like that. But you pretty much know what to expect. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty much laid out right there for you. And yeah, sure. Okay. Deployments, you don't know exactly what to expect because things go sideways, and I get that. But for the most part, your military career, you know, unless you've deployed a dozen times or, you know, something like that, and you're constantly in that kind of stressful situation, you pretty much know what to expect. But then you get out and now it's a world of uncertainty. It is what you make of it. And if you've had almost like, this is going to probably come off the wrong way, the way I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. If you had the training wheels on for so long and then you all of a sudden just kick them off, it's going to feel a little rocky, right?
Yeah.
So that's the image that I've kind of conjured up in my head as you were talking here. So for those listeners who are thinking to themselves like, man, he's kind of describing me. Well, let's hear a little bit more. So those are the folks that you are trying to serve. What is it that you're doing with those guys and turning them into men?
The very first thing that I do, if someone's crossing my path in the first place, I take that as that they're asking, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an invitation. We talk. But the first thing that they have to understand is that it's not just them or it's a certain type of man. I believe guy is within us all. And I believe it comes down to, what do you want? What kind of life do you want to live?
Yeah.
Because a certain type of man produces a certain type of life. That's it. If like a frat guy, we can picture his apartment, his house, his room that he lives in that house with those other guys. We can picture that. That's, if you want that as a picture and as an aspiration, well then step into the thought process and become like him. Mm-hmm. And you'll have the life he has. Very simple, right? My mentor called it define, learn, and do. Look at someone who's got what you want in life. So you define what you want. You learn from somebody who can help you get that, and you do what they did. It's a simplistic sort of view, but we have this. Awareness is the very first thing that must increase, and that's why the question, what do you want? What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of man do you want to wake up as? Even more importantly, what kind of man do you want to go to sleep as? Mm. Because a lot of us have sleep stuff, and we use all sorts of different chemicals and escapes, and there's no judgments here, okay? I still use my THC pens to go to sleep to help my brain slow down. Nobody's coming at anyone. But if we take a minute and just think about what we're talking about here and go, okay, it took me about 3 years for these things to go through my skull after I got home in 2012. I'm like, I'm kind of hair triggered, and like, I'm thinking everybody on the road is coming at me. Like I try to go to sleep at night and I'm just scared to death to fall asleep because I don't know what nightmares are coming this night about my wife and kids going on a chopper and I'm getting bagged. And I have no idea what's going to come through my emotions. I don't know if I'm going to be at Jimmy John's and they put onions on my sandwich and I was having the wrong day at my job. And that was the trigger that I needed to turn around and slam the door and say, what the fuck are you doing putting onions on my sandwich? And launch that shit like I'm Tom Brady at the poor 19-year-old cashier at the thing. She's like, got a summer job.
Yeah, right.
And this was a real story. And after I launched that sandwich across the restaurant and I had that verbal explosion, I'm in a suit, dude. I'm a sales executive pulling down weight. I'm well into the six figures at this point, and I was scared to death because I was living in the identity that took over to make sure nobody was ever going to do that again to me or my family. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that I was stepping into all of my interactions with people as the warrior. I didn't know I was presenting as the warrior. I had to be shown a handful of different things. And one thing that I picked up from Tony Robbins along the way was he's got these archetypes, these four archetypes. And this is where we come to with the awareness with guy who knows he doesn't want to continue down this path. If he says, I want health in my life, I want calm and easy days again. I want to be able to go to sleep. I want to be able to not have my wife or my kids stay away from me because I produced eggshells for them to walk. Mm-hmm. I don't want my kids scared of me. I don't want to be divided from them the way I was with my dad. I don't want to have to get my parents' relationship in order 20 years after the fact if they're hopefully still alive. I don't want these regrets, man. And so when we know that, we say, all right, where did it happen? Something happened somewhere where you were a beast was formed out of that hurt to protect you, to protect the little boy inside. If we know he wants to go through there, then the first step is to help him confront his beast. Because you know this as well as I do. Until you stare death in the eyes, in the face, it owns your ass. It owns you.
What?
You're a whipping boy to fear. But if we get to the point where we can look death in the face, and I'm not talking about being morbid here. I'm talking about the darkness that's in us. That is the way to the light. We have to go through it. The Bible talks about the valley and being in the shadow of, you know, of God's wings, but down through the valley of the shadow of death. David didn't fear any evil because he, for one, his faith, but he knew that he was going to keep going through and come out the other side. We work with guys who want to, who not want to go through that process, who are willing to because they demand health, wellness, wholeness, love, peace, harmony, all the beautiful things. Sure. That's the first thing we do. We got a little model called Face It that begins with feeling. So that's the first couple steps. It's all about awareness though and decision.
Right. And I think, you know, we laid out earlier pretty well how we can identify who this guy is. Right. And so hopefully some of the listeners out there, if maybe you don't see it in yourself, maybe one of your loved ones are listening to this or something, and they might know a guy, and they might want to push guy in the right direction, you know, a gentle nudge in the right direction and say, hey, you might want to check this out, you know. But one thing that occurred to me as you were talking, and it was something that you said earlier, is that, you know, you got a couple boys and a daughter as well. And I do too. It's same makeup as far as our families go, as far as number of boys and girls. But one thing that I think this transformation of Guy will do is not only for Guy himself, but for if he has sons. I mean, kids look up to their parents, and they look at their parents as like a role model to say, this is the type of person that I'm going to be or not be, because maybe their parent is such a train wreck that they're like, I definitely know I don't want to be like that. Right. But regardless, they're using it as a model of some sort to kind of shape how they are. And so for the guys who have boys, you want those boys to look at who you are and become the type of person that you'd like them to be, so that when they're kind of modeling your behaviors and things like that, they're doing it in a way that you can look at them and be like, you know, I'm proud of that kid. You know, I'm proud of my son. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand too, you know, I said, you also said that you have a daughter. That's the kind of guy that she wants to, you know, as she gets older, you know, find a man like what you're trying to become. And you want to model that type of behavior as well. Someone who is going to treat her right, treat her well. And you know, those types of things, not in a, you know, not being a guy, not being the Al Bundy type of guy, you know, like you want to model that type of behavior. And I think, you know, if nothing else, you want to do it for those people in your life, right?
Man, you know, that is, It's the third most driving force in my entire life, what you're dancing all over right now.
Yeah.
You know, we have currently, as it stands right now, before they all have their birthdays again this year, none of them have, not again yet. We have, they're 13, 14. That's the, what some people call like Irish twins. Mm-hmm. Is that the same calendar year, 12 months? Yeah. Ours are 14. We were just asked about the Irish twins thing. So they're not quite Irish twins, but they're close. I think that's a cool thing.
That's pretty cool. But
yeah, that is cool. I love anything that's unique and like specific to other cultures and different. I'm super obsessed with that. I got different languages all over my body, and people are like, what is that K4K? I'm like, no, it's Aramaic, man. That's super ancient. And I love it. I don't even speak it. 13 and 14. My daughter's 18. And my oldest is 21 now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And with the boys, I am constantly, when I made, I was confronted by, you remember Pursuit of Happiness?
Yeah.
Will Smith playing Chris Gardner, the scene outside of Wall Street, the red Ferrari, I think it was, and the young dude in the fly suit. And Chris looks at him and says, two questions. What do you do and how do I do it? Something like that, right?
Sure.
And then that's the premise of the movie was that was his serendipitous moment of breakthrough. And he responded when opportunity was calling, because somebody really smart said success is when preparedness and opportunity come together. It's when they meet. It's when they intersect. And we don't know if that's going to be with the salesperson trying to sell us solar at the front door or like that trip to the concert with our friends that we really didn't feel like going to, but we went anyway. And then we, wow, look what happened. We met the love of our life. These things happen all the time. I met a guy who I wanted to help me get out of my nursing career because he had business success mentoring other men to create passive income and systems and set up business stuff. I'm like, I want you to help me. He's like, all right, I will. And there's a whole big old story to this. But essentially he said, now this was at the end of 4 years, coming toward the end of 4 years of IV drug abuse, affairs, not living with my wife anymore. And I'm on the, we didn't know it at the moment, but I was about a month away from our divorce finalizing.
Hmm.
Because then it finalized later on Valentine's Day of all days. To this day, we send each other divorce anniversary cards on Valentine's Day because we got remarried. I'm not trying to be a sicko here. She, you know, she's my two-time wife. But anyway, he says, I'm glad to help you. First thing I want you to do is go ask your wife for forgiveness and beg for your family back. Wild. Never right. saw that coming, right? And so what he did basically was force confront me with my beast in a way that I wasn't ready for or expecting. The long and short, surprise, surprise, spoiler alert, right? Like I responded to that. For the first time in my life, I owned my actions as a man. Mm-hmm. And out of that, my son was at that time 3 and my daughter was 6 months old. My oldest two that are 21 and 18 now. They were like, I had visions of them disrespecting me when they were 30 and 40 years old because I came around with my other family
mm-hmm.
because I left them and their mom. Like I was given visions of these things, meeting my daughter when she's 32 with 3 kids and her husband at my son's house for Thanksgiving. It shook me to my core. And yeah, so I just remember the message on the drugs was, if you don't get this together, if you don't put a stop to this, I'm going to let you die. And that was a sense that I believe God gave me way back then in the bed of a woman who wasn't my wife. So I turned around for them. Now they see this example. They know the story, but the messaging to my 3 boys all the time these days is, listen, here's how my grandkids are going to be raised. Here's how your sons are going to receive their father.
Yeah.
Principles, right? Principles based on faith, not like fear and putting rules on them and demanding them do something while I slam another one, chug it, and have them get me another one out of the fridge. I don't do that. I grew up like that. I don't want that. And so when I show them, this is what my grandkids are going to have. And, you know, and we spend a lot of time. I don't just talk it. Like we've built up a life where we control our time and we're with our kids and we invest in the sports development for them and the homeschooling type of academies that mix in. So yeah, we made it a priority. They see that. And with my daughter, I've been messaging to her since she was just a baby. Like most of us guys, no matter what would with our little princesses, we would say things like, make sure that you know you're valuable, honey. You are expensive, love. You are very expensive and valuable. And if, you know, like, there you go. And I teach them all the time. Like, it's not about being like me. I believe they're all going to be greater and better than me. I had my journey, though, through that wild one, got me to this mindset. And that's why I appreciate my screwed up past and all the horrible, horrible decisions that I made. I appreciate them now. Like that identity is redeemed. I know that that prodigal son in me had to live that life so the older brother prodigal son who had the responsibility and the wisdom of the father could actually lead when they were ready and all the wild oats had been sown and he learned his lessons. So I message these things to my kids all the time, like super, I have a very eternal type of mindset. I'm always thinking bigger and it's usually annoying for most people who just want to come over and hang out and watch TV or something, you know. But we do because they are, somebody said somewhere some amazing thing about kids being arrows that we shoot into a future that we will never see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
true.
Like these ideas are beautiful, man, and they matter. And I see too many of brothers that we've been there over there with. I've seen them come home. I've seen them, as I say, settle in for the long haul. settle in for the long haul. He builds up his entire basement like a shrine to a school or a team that he's never even gone to, never even was an alumni of, and like never played for. But he dons his whole world in gear to support that effort, which Jerry Seinfeld funnily makes fun of by saying, we're not really rooting for teams and people. We're just rooting for the clothes they're wearing.
Right.
Because when that guy goes to the other team, now you hate that guy because he changed clothes.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
I grew up playing hockey and baseball in Detroit. I am telling you, I am not just totally bagging on this idea.
Right.
What I'm bagging on is the fact that the guy who doesn't grow into his manhood, who allows that manhood to be perverted with a facade of all the tough guy stuff.
Yeah. You know, there was a time we had a bunch of family over for, I forget what it was, a holiday, might have been Easter, I don't know, whatever it was, doesn't matter. A bunch of family over the house, and everyone was, you know, interacting, having a good time, and one of the relatives, an extended, you know, extended relative, kind of came over and he said, I was slipping through the television and I couldn't find any of the sports channels. Where's ESPN? Where's, all this stuff? And I said, oh, we don't have cable. We cut that out. And, we just don't have it. And he looked at me like I had like three heads. And I was like, I mean, would it kill you for an afternoon to just like hang out with the family? Like, I don't know. Like that was kind of the attitude that I was receiving, and he never came back to our house after that.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, well, I don't know. Like, sorry that we, didn't meet your expectations or whatever.
Yeah.
But honestly, no love lost there. Like, it is what it is, it's a big whole story, but it doesn't matter. But like, that's the type of thing I think that you're kind of describing there, and where like it almost seemed like it was bad enough that he had to not be in the cave that you described, with the shrine with all the sports memorabilia and all that kind of stuff. He had to tolerate being around other people, but it couldn't even see the game or the highlight reels or, whatever it was. But it's like, who cares? Who cares about those things? What is really the important thing? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe that game, which I don't even know what that game was. I couldn't even tell you what he was trying to watch.
Right. And today he couldn't either.
And probably not. No. And whether he could or not, I honestly don't even care, but it's like, that's the priorities, and it's just I don't think they're lined up where they should be.
Agreed.
Kind of situations, right? Nothing wrong with someone who enjoys watching sports and has a team that they're rooting for.
Yeah.
Like you said, maybe they're just rooting for the jersey. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. I used to be that way too. I used to, watch baseball all the time, watch hockey, and I love doing it. Did it all the time. But as I got older and priorities shifted, I got married, had kids. Honestly, that stuff was, it was a way to pass the time.
Yeah.
I got other things I could do to pass the time now, and they're kind of more important.
I think for what I've seen in our experience and what we're looking at is when it becomes a problem, when, like you said, the misalignment, priorities and values, right? We're taking actions on things that we don't actually even believe in. Like, we do stuff that we have a core value against. And one of the things that I mean is simply this: for years and years and years, I had a regular 9-to-5 job. I don't anymore. Do I think 9-to-5 jobs are bad? No, but I learned who I was.
Right.
I learned how I'm wired and how I work best. And in that, I've learned that it's not within a structure that's that rigid. Now, that younger me really benefited from the military's rigidness. But as I got older and learned and I changed and evolved, I realized I'm not into being told when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, it became an idea that was crazy to me to think that I had to ask permission about a certain week of the year to hang out with my wife the way that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's called asking for a vacation.
Yeah, right.
Getting approval, submitting the forms. I did this for 25 years until I was able to get rid of it. But that's because of my core values. So if I find myself in a traffic jam every day, and I'm bitching and complaining about my life every day, or this person that I work with and this boss who doesn't like me, and the oppression, they don't appreciate me, and this bill, these bills aren't gonna, you know, take care of themselves, and the money's not enough anyway. Well, I'm taking action. This was me. I'm doing actions, maintaining a 9-to-5 job, going to get another job when that one falls through, that aren't even aligned with my core values, which were time autonomy, freedom of my choices within whatever my capabilities are. It's not complicated, but it's, it at least becomes aligned with what I'm doing. Now, where I really got in trouble and why I believe I went down the road of the affairs and the betrayal like I did and the drugs in that, in those early days of my 20s and a young family, was because I refused to confront that beast. Whatever that beast was that I was not confronting. So when I've seen a brother come home from overseas and he refused to confront his beast, instead just dove into 6-packs or 12-packs in cases, and Sunday and Saturday football, and like in all the things. And then I watched the divide between him and his children grow bigger, or he walks by his teenage daughter and bumps her with a shoulder and knocks her to the side and doesn't apologize and looks at her like he's a dude in a locker room. And I want to be like, bro, what are you thinking, man? And now I want to warrior up on him.
Yeah.
In protection of her. But he's not, he's violating who he is in the core. And I happen to know a very specific person that I'm describing. And so I'm safe to say these things. It's a violation of what he believes on the inside. And so now he hates himself even more. And the cycle perpetuates.
Yeah.
And so the escapism gets more extreme, no matter what it looks like.
Yeah, I was just going to say that becomes a vicious cycle that snowballs into something.
It's going
to
shred that household apart.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And it's, there's a cure. There's an antidote to this poison, right? And yep. And that antidote is to, well, like you said, first take stock of like what matters, what's important, and act on that. Do something to get you to that place where you're actually doing those things that are in line with those core values.
Let me give you a little, You want me to give you a little tool that could be useful?
Sure.
It's great for the audience too, because it's called radar. So if you want to catch these things, as Scott's saying right now, a quick little, I don't know, is it a mnemonic? Is that what the word?
I think that is, yeah.
Anagram, mnemonic, I don't know what it's called. But if you look at radar as 5 letters and the D is squared, okay? I'm not too fancy here, but radar and the D is squared. What we do first is we simply reflect. And that reflection is, why the hell do I feel this way, man? Like, where is this coming from? Like, get in yourself in the mirror, driving in the road, talk to yourself for real the way you do. Try not to beat the hell out of yourself like a bully, but just try to be real and reflect. What am I, this continuous frustration thing, where is this coming from? And now you're gonna start catching a pattern in some sources that produce that pattern. Typically where I start with guys is, what continually frustrates you, a repetitive, frustrating pattern that occurs in your life or a result that you get that you don't want? An undesired, repeating thing that is a theme in your life. You know it. Come on. You know it right now. Name it in your mind. There's only one or two of these that always come off to the top of our minds. This always happens. Okay. We're going to reflect on that. Okay, cool. Now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm aware. That's the A. Now I'm aware. I gave myself a chance to think about something real for a second. I muted the commercials, or I muted the game for just a minute, and I'm reflecting about something, right? And a great time to do this in the early times is when you get right when you get pricked with that thorn, right when you get triggered. If you can get the wherewithal just to calm down for a second and go, okay, where is this coming from, dude?
Yeah.
Like you would a younger person that you were trying to lead. Where is this coming from? Now you're aware, and the D is a D squared. Like I said, we're going to determine the effect that it's had in our life. That could be extremely deep or quite a tall mountain. We don't need to do that. Is the effect desired or is the effect undesired? Do we want it? Do we not want it? Positive, thumbs up, thumbs down. That's the determination, whether it belongs or not. Then we decide what we're going to do with it. If it belongs, we need to invest in that and nurture that. If it needs to go, we need to cut the weed, get rid of it, eliminate it. And that comes into the next A, which is adjust. Do it. Take the action on the adjustment, execute. And then the R is, we're going to call it repetition. But under there, you need the 3 I's. And this is very useful in why people's results always go backwards and they don't last. you have, in order to repeat something that lasts for transformation, you have to have an intention. You must have introspection, and you must iterate. When you do those things, you have a clear intention, a goal. You can reflect on the idea and have some introspection about what you're trying to accomplish there. And you can communicate that however you might need to yourself or someone else. And then you make the appropriate adjustment so the next version is better than the last attempt.
Yeah.
If you approached your wife for dinner and she got triggered and you didn't know what is going on again. Years and years, man. I got 28 with this chick. Like, I still have almost no clue how to approach her, and she's married me twice. I'm like, what you want me to do, man? Like, I didn't want me to say this, but I reflect on it afterward. Okay. I guess I came in a little hot. The warrior was leading. The sword was still on my shoulder from battle, had a little bit of blood hanging on it. I just got home from traffic, right?
Yeah, right.
From a long day in the office. And I brought some of that energy of the warrior right into my kitchen when she's like being ran over by the kids and cooking dinner for me. And so there's some of that. We're going to reapproach that. And I didn't even deliver the four archetypes that Tony talked about. It was the king, the warrior, the lover, and the magician.
Okay.
And I didn't mean to confuse too much of this, but these things have been transformative in my life once I confronted the beast, to understand that my wife needs the lover approach, at least that energy, but within the realm of the kingly stuff. I learned to actually put my warrior to sleep. Most of the time, I just keep the warrior in the hammock with the iced tea and the sunlight. If that image is clear.
That visual does come through clear. And I think it's good to keep that warrior around, right? Because there could be a time that
we're built for it.
You need to go tap him on the shoulder and be like, hey, you're up. Put
That's
me in,
it.
Coach.
You know, he's got to stay ready. He's the QRF, man.
He is, exactly.
He stays in the quick reaction force mode.
That's a good way. That's what I was trying to describe, but I didn't have those words, even though I know exactly what you're talking about. Cool.
Yeah,
I do this every day. Before, like, I get it. Like,
lights up every day with this particular thing, so it's okay. That's why we're talking.
Right, exactly. But that's what I was trying to describe is you want to have that warrior on QRF just in case that thing happens, that, you know, whatever it is, and you need a warrior mindset to be aggressive, be assertive, be a dominant force, something that nobody's going to fuck with. You are going to just drive through whatever the objective is and destroy anything in your path in order to get to that goal. You need to have that warrior mindset. And I'm not just talking about physical violence and things like that, but there might be other things that you need to have that type of mindset, right?
Yep. I got a funny little story if you want it.
Yeah, go for it.
The last time I truly needed him, it was January, the morning of January 25th this year.
Okay.
And so early in the year, and I got three boys. We're going to a gymnastics competition in Galveston, Texas. We're in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
So I got to go to the airport with three boys and another dad, a gym dad. And so he's here. Dad's out front with his car and he's waiting just to park it around because I'm driving him and our three boys to the airport. And then we're going to get on a plane. He's going to get the rental on his side and drive us from Houston to Galveston. That's the picture. 4:15 a.m. Eastern time. I am walking through my dark garage that is also my wife's commercial gym for her holistic nutrition and physical training business. She's got a lot of gym equipment and we have a two-car garage. That's what we have.
Sure.
It was dark. I went in there to close the door. Cars are already loaded up. I'm just cruising through there, just walking at a good pace. And I clipped the corner of an iron leg off of one of her pieces of equipment. It was a corner. It was just a U-shaped iron piece of equipment. And I hit the one end of that U of that leg. And I'm athletic, man. I do triathlons. I run. I got great balance. Like I said, martial arts training here and there. I got good balance and I'm athletic. I went down like a sack of potatoes and I hit the concrete, boom, on the hip, you know? Oh, had to fall because the garage was halfway up when I hit it and fell forward. I had to duck my head because I would have hit it on the garage door that wasn't high enough and it was ugly. I hit the ground. I stood back up. And when I stood up on my feet, I felt lightning shoot from the ground up through my body like that. And the nursing immediately went to my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I broke something because I couldn't, there was no weight. And so I started dragging it to the car without the boys noticing, which I'm at the trunk on the ground and they're in the car. So, but they don't see it because it's dark.
Yeah. Right.
I get in the car. I pick up dad. I'm like, okay, baby, we're in warrior mode right now. And dad gets in the car and I drive us the 40 minutes, whatever, 30 minutes to the airport. And I drag this foot through the tram. I drag it to the gate. I drag it across the Houston airport to the national car. It was like 7-8 hours until I could get to an urgent care in South Texas to get a x-ray and then a boot. Anyway, I'm still on a broken foot, but the warrior, I took a picture. That picture behind me on the TV says Conquer Your Beast on it. And it's the picture I took at 6:22 a.m. that morning, sitting on the plane, getting settled in. And I got this pain of this broken bone in my mouth. Like, you can see it on my face. But the warrior was leading that morning. And one of the big things is that I learned was I don't need to lead with warrior in my home.
Yeah.
Unless someone attempts to invade that space. Right. And that might be a family member, an extended something, if they get a little crazy out of line and whatever. But most of the time it has to do with actual threats, mm-hmm. real threats like that. And so I know that when the warrior, it's time for him, most of the time, it's just to push through something like that. So yep. we can at least have a good story and a good trip. But most of the time he's getting in the way and he's hurting us.
And that's the never quit mindset. The warrior in you came out. Your mission was to get your kids to Texas and get them to that competition. And that was the mission. And so it's that always placing the mission first kind of mindset. And yeah, sure. You might've messed yourself up. You might've had a broken bone. You might've been in some agonizing pain, but there's a mission there. And you're not going to just quit on your kids. So the war, that's what I was talking about. There's other things, like you're not necessarily, you know, looking at a threat like the Taliban in that kind of situation, but you're still going to use that mindset to push through. Right. But that's few and far between. Most of us don't need to do that on a daily basis. We don't need to have that warrior constantly on guard, standing in the guard tower, ready to, you know, pick off targets as they're coming towards us. We don't have to worry about, you know, suicide bombers, and we don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. I mean, when's the last time that's happened in the United States? You know, it's few and far between. Yeah, sure. There are shootings. There's things that happen. There's home invasions. There's those things that do happen, but for the vast majority of the population, that's not a thing that you're really going to have to be concerned about. But if you need it, that guy is still in you, right? Mm-hmm. But it's okay to let him, like you said, hang out in the hammock, you know, keep bringing him his lemonade or iced tea or whatever it is that he's drinking, and just enjoy retirement. And, he can come back out.
He's in a consultative position now.
Yeah, there it is.
It's primarily consultative.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. So that's a good way to think of it. But, you know, he can come back out on QRF if he needs to.
100%.
So that's a great way to think about it. We don't need that. And no matter what we've been through, the traumatic incidents that we might have gone through, that the listeners have gone through and all that, like, this is not something that we need constantly in our lives. So what is, again, going back to what you were saying before, what is that new persona that we're going to take on? Who is that person that we are looking at? It's like, you know, that person is what I want to be. That they have, you know, the job, the family, the whatever it is that I want, that's what I want to be. So like you were saying before, let's look at that person. How did that person get to that path? Or what path was it that person took to get to where he is? And how do I repeat that? And kind of follow, not necessarily follow in somebody's footsteps 100%, right? But they kind of started to wear the path down, and you can kind of use that as a guide. You know, maybe it's not going to be exact same footsteps that they took, but it's going to be close enough to get you in that direction. Now, there's something to be said about, you know, envy and that type of thing, that you don't want to necessarily be envious of that person. It's like, oh, well, because they have this, I want that, and, you know, whatever. It's like, no, that's not the point here. What I think we're trying to say is that we're trying to look at what a picture of success. What does success look like to you?
Yep.
Where do you want to be? What type of person do you want to be? And how do you get there? And this is just an avenue to get you to be your own version of success. You know, what success looks like to you and what it looks like to me might be two totally different things. At the end of the day, we might both be feeling successful in whatever it is that we're doing. And that's great. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, if I was in your shoes, that I would feel successful. Or if you were in my shoes, that you would feel successful. You know, we might have different definitions of that. And that's okay. So, you know, create your own version of that, but kind of use that as a general guide to get you to where you want to go, right?
Yeah. I wanted to look something up because I didn't want to misquote it. This came out of me over the last week while I was writing, and I liked it a lot, and I've been playing with different forms of it. But essentially, I wanted a definition of success that I was more comfortable with and that I really appreciated. And for me, I put this, that success is the diligent pursuit and progress toward a divine intention.
Okay.
So what does that mean? The highest version of ourselves, let's say ideal Adam, for me, that's how I would think about it, but my name is part of my identity and how I look at myself. And so in that, there's this whole thing in the framework about how I help people find their eternal name. And it's based off biblical examples of Abram becoming Abraham, Levi becoming Matthew, Saul becoming Paul, and different versions, and women too, Sarai and Sarah, and different, like this play on a name, having your name changed into your eternal identity. And again, that it's neither here nor there in the moment, but when you have that picture of yourself, that's the highest form of yourself. What do you picture in your life? Whatever this greatest, what I say, start with the clearest vision that you do have. I've had people try to tell me, write down your perfect day. Do you know what a nightmare assignment that is for an overthinker? Write down your perfect day. F you. Are you trying to put me into a freaking nut ward right now? Like, I'm not. I was an ER nurse, man. I saw a lot of psych patients. I know where they go, and this is how they get there. This is one of the ways they get there. Give an overthinker an assignment. What a torture. But in that, we can sit there and go, okay, what's the clearest picture of what an ideal day would be? Maybe I'll have 100 versions of ideal days. Today was an ideal day for me. And I'm working it like it's a regular work day. I might have to take some of that time back tomorrow. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was an ideal day. Why? Because it just was. The things that I like to do. My family's here. It's quiet. You and I are getting together. We're doing some good things, making some impact for people. It's like, it's great. So it's the diligent pursuit and progress toward that intention of our best selves and of our highest selves. And I believe the only way to do that is get ready to confront that thing that's kept us stuck all this time. You figure it out. And for me, a big part of that was I had to go and face, how much longer am I going to live my life blaming my lack of results on my dad's failure to prepare me? That was a major beast for me.
Yeah.
I had to confront it. And confronting it meant facing the fact that I make my own choices. Mm-hmm. Yes, I might make choices depend. I might be in different situations based on what they did or their choices. But at the end of the day, I get to make my own now. So is he going to continue writing my story through my imagination? Am I going to let that happen? Or am I going to take the pen back and write the story?
Right.
And that's a big part of it. But again, that starts with intention like you're talking about. And then what do you want? It comes down to what do you want? When that gets there, it's like, okay, now we can begin working on it. I have these seven pillars that I call the seven pillars of revolutionary freedom. It's the path that I know. It's the path that was developed in me, through me, by me. Many, many early morning pre-sunrise walks with my dog, healing, 2015, 16, 17, through 21, 22, 24. Like, I'm not doing it the way that I was within the last couple of years because of how much growth and expansion has happened for me in that way. But along that route, it's like I had to learn about my perception. And then I had to learn that my perception is my direction. And like pillar two is power. Why are so many of us walking around frustrated and hair triggered, angry to react to something? Because we feel powerless. Mm-hmm. We feel powerless. That's why we're not relaxed. Dude, if you got a Ferrari next to a Vespa, you ain't worried.
Right.
You're not frustrated. You ain't looking to prove a point. You just know. And a lot of us are missing that, especially on the warrior side of the house. Mm-hmm. We're missing it. And then like number three is release. It's how to become healthily detached. It's how to forgive things without letting someone get away with the damage that they did to you. Like, you know, pillar four is responsibility and how it's the idea behind Jocko's extreme ownership that he talks about. So pillar four is responsibility. done the way that I had to learn it, like Don showed me, go fight for your family and I'll help you in business. I'm like, what's that got to do with anything? He's like, this is about character here, man. Who are you?
Right.
And so, you know, five is cultivate, and it's about a garden, protection, taking care of it, fertilizer, but also keeping weeds and rodents out, vermin. Pillar six is execution, because I got through most of my life on talent and I had to learn how to work. I learned work ethic from my dad, but through my resentment, I basically threw up a middle finger toward that life and said, I'm just going to go ahead and look like a beatnik to the rest of you for the rest of, you know, whatever. They think I'm a bum and a loser. Let me just go ahead and fulfill this for you.
Right.
And so I went down that road, but then I had to learn about faith without works is dead, and what faith-driven work looks like. And it doesn't look like rules and sweater vests. I'll tell you that. Number seven is transformation. And that's where we get into that 3I framework at a deeper level, because transformation is the elimination of frustration, man. You want to lose your frustration, your worry, your this, that, and the other? Transform the thing. And the thing that you transform becomes something new. And along with that, you end up finding who you really are and all that. And that's a big old long process. Mm-hmm. But we start with a 90-day intensive called the Invincible Identity Intensive. And that's where it all begins. And we take people who are my buddy in faith, calls it level zeros, who don't know anything and they're just curious about faith stuff. And a lot of it, we do three at a time a lot of times in our cohorts. The last two were, it had strictly to do with professional aspirations, while a guy was being thrown in a loop by a wife who was divorcing him and a boyfriend and an Airbnb and kids in the mix while he's trying to navigate his professional career at 50 years old. Like that was, he didn't know who he was because he was being driven as a passive guy under his mom and his like this control that he talked about being under. He didn't know that until we were a couple few weeks into sessions, but it did. When it struck him week three, within the third time, tears to his eyes. And today we had our little roll call session that we do with the guys twice a month. And he was on there just like, he's doing his thing, man. He's on fire. And he's like, I didn't know I was living under my mom's identity. I didn't know I was living under my sister's identity. I didn't know that I had took the back seat to my wife and she didn't respect me as a man because I wasn't leading as one. I was just being a guy the whole time. And he was a model, and most of his life came to him easily through the looks of his face and his abs. And for 17 years, he neglected his wife through passivity. And all of these things, the guy's leading now. And like his life is totally turning around. He's making splashes at work. And that's all within a 3-month period. Like it's popping for them once they're ready to confront that beast.
Right. And that beast is sometimes not an easy beast to confront, to even want to confront, because sometimes you get so comfortable in the way things always had been. But when you look at the way things always had been and realize that's not the way I want things to be going, well, something has to change. And I was actually just last night, I was talking with some guys, and I'm not saying guys in the sense that we were using as your avatar, but just, you know, bunch of other men. Let's just
lowercase
say.
Guys.
Yes, lowercase guys. you know, and so you know, they were talking about how, you know, if there's people out there who they go and ask for help. Maybe they go to therapy, right? And they are going into therapy, and then they get frustrated with the therapist because, oh, this therapist isn't helping. But sometimes it's that the therapist isn't just going to be a yes man kind of thing and just validate everything that you're saying, because sometimes the stuff you're saying is pretty fucked up, and yep. maybe it doesn't need validating, maybe it needs challenging,
maybe it's invalid, right?
Maybe the conclusions you've drawn are invalid, and the right. things that you're doing are not good things, and maybe the therapist is there to challenge those things so that you can iterate. I think that's one of the eyes that you were talking about, right? Yep. and so you can take that feedback and go make a change, and then hopefully come back as a better version of yourself and continue to iterate. This is something that really, to me, I love this, because just using this podcast as an example, when I started this show about 6 years ago, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know the equipment, the tech that was needed. I knew I had to record my voice somehow and then get it out to the world somehow. I didn't know what I was doing, right? I got this cheap microphone and I started recording. I watched a couple of YouTube videos on what to do. And, you know, I asked a couple friends that I had, like, that had their own podcast, and I asked them, like, what do I need to do? And they gave me some tips, and I just ran with it. Over the years, the whole process has changed dramatically from what I use to record with, the techs off the software, the microphones, the even the process, the onboarding process that you went through, where, you know, send you a link to my calendar and all this stuff. There's a whole process that went into that. But that all was done through iterations of trying to make this whole thing, this whole process better. I've been very focused on making it better every step of the way, through the time of scheduling an interview all the way through to putting the interview out on, you know, to the world. And, yep. You know, being focused, I have my own listener avatar that you're talking. I have my own version of Guy, who that person is. And that's who I'm talking to right now. Is that person. Obviously I'm talking to you, but I'm, you know, as far as the listener and the content that we're creating right now, that's who I'm creating it for. I'm creating it for that person with that person in mind. When I started the show, I didn't have that person in mind. And so everything has iterated and gotten better along the way. And that's what I think people miss out a lot in life, is that this is just the way things have always been done. It's just the way things are. They just accept it. And they don't realize that things can change. Things can get better. And there are ways that you can do that. Sometimes you might need help to get yourself out of your own way, but you have to be receptive to that. And if you're not receptive to it, then I nobody's going to help you. Because if you don't want it bad enough to make the change, I'm not going to be able to change you. You're not going to be able to change the person. You know, and no therapist is going to be able to change you. If you don't want it, nobody's going to want it. And so you really it has to start with you on the inside. You have to be the one who says, I want this. I want this change.
Yeah, that's real. And I want to encourage, the simplicity of this is not as deep as and heavy as some of the stuff that we talk about that can feel that way for some guys and some men and women that are growing in these ways. But I want to show us, men or women, how we're already experts at this radar concept. Because that alone, if somebody picks that up and they use that for themselves, scratch it on a notepad, put it on your hand, a post-it sticky, like something, because it can change your life, because you already do this. You're already a master of doing this. Radar is just a cool, like, it's a fun way that I came up with, that came through my mind, that fits. It's not earth-shattering. These concepts have been around for a long time. But here's how we know that we're experts at radar. Because every single person, especially, this is a lot of times, no pun intended on this one, a guy thing. We have our way, don't we?
Yeah.
We have our way that we set up our car and how we have our charging cable in there, where our phone mount is, how we like our climate control, where we put our briefcase or our duffel bag, where we put our drink, where we put our cups. Like, we have a way that we operate ourselves within a vehicle that we own, that we drive. We have a way. The older you are, the more finely tuned your way is. And your closet is like this too, man. I don't care what it looks like. Women have their personality about their closets and their vehicles too. But we'll just stick with the guys thing for now. But like, right? We have a way that it is. And how do we get that way? Because when we're 40, it's way more than what we knew at 25 when things were more haphazard for most of us. But the Army taught me at 18, 19 to become meticulous fast. Early, I became extremely orderly. But that was built into me and it fit what I liked. So I adopted it and I still live that way. My desk is still that way. Even when it's a little messy, it's orderly. And so you have a way. You got there by iterating all along the way. You reflected about what you liked about where that charger was that time, or that one equipment, that accessory that you had for your MP3 player. And then you're like, oh, I like the fact that this went Bluetooth, because now I can have a better way and I can iterate and get rid of wires. And at all that. I'm iterating on my workspace, my environment. How did I get to the point where my soundboard is over there and I keep my Bible right under here, under my podcast desk? Like, I got this because in this office, it took me about 3 or 4 years to get to the point where I had a rhythm and I can operate within my own ecosystem. This is not groundbreaking science. We all do this every day.
Yeah.
We just don't really think about the process of it in a coherent manner like this, and then to use it in other ways. That's how I learned that I don't like the way my mom did my toast as a kid. Sorry, Ma, but you left all the edges real dry. And I had to reflect on what I didn't like about all that toast and all that dry. Maybe she was just broke or too broke to afford more butter. I don't know what it was, but we lived up a little sketchy in Detroit. But now I put butter and I crush it over the edge of the crust. I crush the crust down with a butter knife because I like soft crust. That's why my kids didn't eat hard crust. Like, you iterate. This is in everything we do. It's like the Matrix. It's in everything.
Yeah.
And when you learn to see it, your awareness goes up, and then you can really start doing exactly what you're saying, Scott. Make some decisions about what you want, how you want this life to live. Do you want your daughter to grow up and be married to a dude, a guy that has treated her, that will treat her at the best, as best as you have? Mm-hmm. That includes shoulder shrugs into her shoulder near the fridge.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, man. We've covered a
lot
of
ground. I was a big time loser, man. No, we did. But again, mine was so passionate because I was a big time loser. Yeah. I was losing big time is what I'm saying, you know? The drugs, the affairs, the divorce, and all that stuff. And we have gotten it back together. It came through those choices. It came through me getting confronted with the beast and then deciding, okay, I have a choice to make about the kind of life I'm going after. And we can't let all the deep and heavy stuff complicate it, because it's not complicated.
It's really
what do you
not.
Want? Make a decision.
But
and then find some people that can help, right?
We do that a lot to ourselves. We overcomplicate these things, and
it's
simple if we can get out of our own way. And
we want to explain our inaction.
Yeah.
We want to excuse away why we didn't do something. Mm-hmm. Some of us have that disease that we got to overcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it happens, you know.
I'm not a doctor, you know. I don't have a license in this stuff. I know my own journey, and then I've been pouring into other people for years, and I get the feedback, and I see, and just like you, I have a certain person that I'm going after to help, and man, hopefully some of this rings a bell for people and just inspires some of that action. It's not about envy. It's not about looking at the highlights, or this dude wants to be clever and use low lights because bedwetter is shocking. I know, it's part of my personality, but I'm comfortable. You know, it's like, what do you want to do? It's decision time.
It is. That's a good place to, or a good place to be, is where you're at that point where you are recognizing I'm at a crossroads. I can go and continue on the same path that I was on, or I could do something to make a change for the better. It's something that, you know, we're all work in progress. You know, none of us are even the most successful people in the world are still a work in progress. They're still iterating and still making moves and changes and doing things to get better. They're not just going to remain stagnant and, I've made it to a certain point, so now I'm just going to coast and, you know, just live my days out like a guy, you know?
Right. Right.
You're going to see the success, and you're going to say, hey, you know what? That success kind of tastes good. I want a little more of that.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep on pushing in the right direction. And
you become a man you're proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not easy at first, maybe, you know, depending on where you're coming from, you might not even see a path to get to become that transition from guy to a man. You may not even see that, but it's there if you're open to it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's a good place to wrap this up. I think this has been a powerful conversation. I knew it from the beginning. Like I said, in the very beginning of this conversation, like when we first got on this call before we started recording, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good conversation. And I think it absolutely was. So
I'll tell you right here, I would be honored, and I'll say it out loud. You can keep it if you want or get rid of it. But I do have a show.
Yeah.
It's been around for some time. It's quiet, and I'm not going to promote it now. And I know you'd be graceful and allow that. But when that gets up and gets moving with the professionals that are helping me curate it into something that has real substantial clarity and messaging, because we're at almost 70 episodes on it.
Okay.
But it was all me and haphazard, and not haphazard. I just didn't have the consistency of the messaging that I have now, because it took me some time to figure out and hone what I was actually, the problems I was actually helping people solve.
Sure.
And even if it's somewhat cloudy today, it shouldn't be cloudy. It should just feel like a higher view, right? There's much more specifics, but these are already heavy topics. We're already an hour plus in.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you look at these things, you can only do so much at one time.
That's right.
But we are, I would love to have you come on our show down the road when it's respectable and worth your time. And you know what I mean? And you can get the juice out of the squeeze. So, and you know, to get more people out there too, because I have a good crossover mix that would love to hear your story, and especially with the book out, and promote that in the mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to, do that, but I'd also love for you to, tell folks where they can go to, you know, maybe find out more information about you and what you do, if they're looking for a little help to, you know, kind of kick that guy out of their life and get the man, you know, in their life.
Yeah. I'm going to give two simple resources. Sure. And it is best for the person, and they're not typical, but I'll say number one is, if this resonated today with you, I would like to have just a short chat and get to know you and some of your story and hear where you're at. We can discuss potential solutions. We can discuss other resources that I know of in the network that I have. If I'm not a fit, if you're not looking for something right now, you just want ideas, but this is what we would call a discovery call. I'll give you a couple pointers if you want to throw me something, and I'll do it. I'm not going to expect anything. And we can go that route. I call it a coffee chat, and that's at chat.adamkasics.com/coffee. Perfect. And then the other place, nice and abundant amount of information, is at my YouTube channel, which I'm actively looking to grow and promote, because our messaging is getting stronger. We're starting to get 1,000+ views after just a half an hour on some shorts. We're getting some more of that. So we know the messaging's honing in to reach the right people that we're trying to reach. And you have a good net and funnel for that here. And so if you're listening right now, my YouTube channel is at Real Adam Kasics. So, but you can just look up my name, Adam Kasics. It's right. You're going to find it on YouTube. It's there. I'm the only one. And there's a bunch of different things in there that are fun. And I'm trying to learn how to be more. I'm trying to infuse much more of my humor, which drives my personal life, into my professional messaging stuff, because more, it's like, it can be heavy, and I'm wanting to be a little bit more funny and entertaining with that, which is weird to talk about that with this topic, but I have a knack for it in the personal realm when it happens organically and naturally. So I want that to come out there too, but that's a good place for people to go to get a good start on my ecosystem.
Excellent. Well, both of those links will be in the show notes for the listeners to check out. So make it nice and easy for them. They can click right through, you know, whatever podcast app you're using. That's where you can find those links, and you can click them, you know, get that discovery chat, or check out the YouTube channel and find some of those videos to, you know, kind of help get you on your way to a better version of yourself. So, Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you again.
You're welcome. I'm super proud to be part of your work.
You bet. Anytime.